We're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. So when you find that, stand with me. We'll read our text, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It's kind of a bittersweet day because today is our last lesson in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's sort of a milestone for a couple of reasons. This is sort of a neat thing to think about, for at least for me. I thought about it this week, that as pastor of Western Hills Baptist Church, this is the first expositional study, verse by verse, that is, because I know we went through the book of Ezra, but we did that, I think, in just like four or five messages, but that this is the first book that we finished together. And to me, that's a special thing. It only took us 2 years. And here we are, finishing up at Ecclesiastes. And so it's a good one today, I think. This is a good one for us to finish this book with and also to launch us into what we'll be doing next. Okay, verse number 13 and 14 is what we'll be reading today. Solomon says this, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Now look at verse 14. "For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And God sees it all, doesn't he? Amen. We're going to be talking about our focus this morning. And in the bulletin it says, focus on your relationship with God. And that's what we're going to be talking about. But I have a better title than that. And so the title is actually going to be Gaze Upon the Lord. Gaze upon the Lord. That's what we're going to talk about. Father, we need you this morning. We pray your blessings. We ask for your grace. Lord, I think about those that are sick, and I was sick on Monday this week and Tuesday, and it was just awful. And for those that are battling with that same kind of sickness, it seems like it's just going around. I pray for your grace in our church family. I think of Brother Jay is ill, and Brother Mark is ill also. And Lord, I know that there are likely others who are dealing with this issue. I just pray for your grace in them right now, that it would be a quick recovery, and that you would get glory in it all. I pray for the lesson this morning, that you'd work in our hearts. I pray that you would just help us to see you today, to gaze upon you today, and to understand what that means in our life and how it can affect the rest of our life. And we pray your blessings on the message in the second service today. All the other classes, God, we pray for your touch there too. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. We're blessed to go to Grandma's house on Thursday. And the only sad thing I feel about that is I feel like we don't get to do it enough. And I feel like, I was telling Melissa last night, we need to go to Grandma's house. It's always Grandma. We should say Grandpa too, right? Grandma and Grandpa's house. We should go to Grandma and Grandpa's house more, you know, while they're here, you know. But it was a special time. We had spaghetti and meatballs, and we played pool, and we just had a good time. It was really good. On the way home, we were having a discussion in the car. Melissa mentioned to Andrew, did you grab your jacket that you wore over to Grandma's house? And we saw that he had taken it off while we were playing pool. By the way, it's not Andrew's jacket, it's Grant's jacket that Andrew was wearing, right? And so Andrew said, "Oh, I forgot it." And Melissa was upset. "Andrew, why are you so irresponsible?" And we had that little mom and son talk there for a little bit. And I was enjoying all of it, you know. That conversation about the missing coat went on for a while. Ethan was in the back of the van. He could only hear a little bit about what was going on about the coat. And Ethan chimes in and he says, what's wrong with Grant's toe?" And I just burst into laughter because obviously he was misunderstanding what we were talking about. You know, and so now we were just laughing up front about, you know, Ethan's comment about Grant's toe. And Ethan was genuinely concerned about Grant's toe, you know, and this conversation about the toe that we were having. And that laughter was happening for a while. And Caleb, who was sitting in the middle, was a part of the whole conversation. He heard about the coat, and he heard us laughing about the toe. He was there, present. And then finally he said, "Dad, what is wrong with Grant's toe?" It made me laugh more. Like, guys, we never said toe. We said coat. Coat, right? And it reminded me of the blessing of having teenage boys who are here but not there. You know what I mean? Like, we're present but not with us, you know, somewhere else mentally, you know. I think in life, our relationship with God can be that way. And what I mean by that is we're here, but we're not there. We're in the place we need to be, but we're not having that relationship. The focus isn't right. Our attention isn't there. Our heart is somewhere else. And that's the problem that Solomon's dealing with here. And by the way, this is a real issue that we need to understand to get a grip on, because this is how we navigate through life, is letting God direct our path. And Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, and he talks all about the wisdom of God and how what we need is God to direct our path. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, right? It's one of my favorite passages. It helped me through college. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. It's talking about focusing on God. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. We need God to direct us, but to do that, we need to acknowledge him, which means our focus needs to be on him. Our attention needs to be given to him. And so we go into the world and we get, you know, connected or associated to all the things that are out there in the world, and it takes our attention away from God, so our focus isn't right. And we come to church, we come to God's house, and our attention, our focus isn't right. Now, here's what Solomon is talking about. He's giving instructions to close out the book of Ecclesiastes to say, really, this is the conclusion of the matter. This is what it's all about. This is where it all funnels down to. In our life, this is what all of what I have written is designed to bring us to. The conclusion of the whole matter. Look at verse number 13 again. I want to say the actual words that he uses. He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." Now I want you to go to the last part of that verse. "For this is the whole duty of man." So that phrase, "this is the whole duty of man," has to do with what's most important, like a priority. This is the most important thing our attention needs to be given to. The most important thing in life. And so really he is talking about focus, isn't he? He's talking about the attention of our, you know, of our life. The whole duty of man. This is what we need to be given to. The implication of that is this is the thing that often gets distracted in our life. Our attention on God, our relationship with God. I mean, when in life, when things get stirred, and by the way, the devil wants to make sure that things stay stirred up. He wants to disrupt, you know, things in our life. And so he'll send temptation our way. Our flesh, by the way, does not crave the things of God. And so our flesh gets in the way of our relationship. And then we're allured because of our flesh to the things of the world by the way, the things of the world are designed to allure us away from God. And it's all working together to pull us away from where God wants us to be. And so our attention becomes given to these other things in life. And what happens is you go home on Monday, you know, and you begin the process of the week. And maybe because you've been in church all day, God has convicted, he's touched you, and you are motivated, you're determined. I'm going to have a better walk with God this week. But then it starts to pile on. And busyness starts to come into our life, you know, starts to take over. And we start to give our attention to all of these other things. And by the way, not all of them bad, just things that take our attention. And so we get tired. By the time it's Wednesday, we're usually pretty tired, right? If we've been getting up and we've been doing our work and doing our thing and the things that we need to do. So our attention isn't given to God like it needs to be. And then if we come to church and then there's and God works in us to bring us back to that focus where it needs to be, and then, you know, we get to the end of the week and now we're at Sunday, but it's like we're on this roller coaster. Like we're trying to stay focused on God, but then the things around us stir and take our attention away from God. So there needs to be something built in us, an understanding and a determination of focus and meditation that will help us to continue to bring our attention back to God. And that's what he's talking, that's what Solomon's talking about here. He's talking about something being built into, an understanding being built into us that will bring our attention back to God when we allow, you know, so that we won't allow the things of this world to allure us, our flesh, or the temptation that's around us to allure us away from giving attention to the things of God. I mean, I'm talking about the things that develop our relationship with God, our time with Him in prayer, our time with Him in the scriptures, in studies. By the way, let me encourage you about something. God wants us to read the scriptures every day, certainly. And the Bible implies that. All through the scripture, it implies that we would read the scripture every day. To hear these sayings of mine and do them implies that we would hear the scriptures, meaning that you would read it. But the Bible teaches us to meditate upon the scriptures. And so it's not enough that you read. You must meditate. My favorite passage to meditate myself, to meditate on, is Psalm 1. And in that passage, in verse number 2, he says this, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night." I want you to think with me about that. And I'm not going to teach a lesson on Psalm 1 here, but I do want you to think with me about this. He said, "And in his law doth he meditate." Now, here's what will happen if you decide that that's true and to do it. By the way, it is true and you need to do it. It's a command. And by the way, it's not just a command. It's something that's natural for somebody who delights in the law of the Lord. When you delight in God and you delight in his law and you want to have a close relationship, determined to have a close relationship with him and to get off that roller coaster that we feel like we're on all the time, then it requires meditation. There's no other way. Like, "But Pastor, you know, I feel like I'm pretty strong." But you're not strong enough. And you will be wore down. And your focus will get off. And you think you're stronger than your flesh? No, you're not. Your spirit and our flesh in us will overpower us if we don't walk in the Spirit. And what we need is to meditate. And his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, here's what the scripture says will happen if you do that. You will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, a tree planted by the rivers of water, do you know what it is? It's strong. You cannot make yourself strong, but God in his word, in your relationship with him, when you're focused, your attention is given to him in meditation, in prayer, in reading. He'll make you strong. You're like, "Pastor, I'm so weak." Well, you need to meditate on the scriptures. Well, how do you do that? Write it on a 3x5 card and carry it around with you. And do like Daniel, 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night, right? Meditate on it. Think about it. He'll make you like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He'll make you strong. He'll make you a fruitful, bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Wouldn't it be nice if you didn't get discouraged all the time? Man, I feel like I'm discouraged all the time. You know what you need to do? Meditate on the word of God. But it doesn't work. No, it does work. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, it's the only thing that works. Nothing else will work. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall, you know it, right? Prosper. He'll make you prosper. He'll bring that prosperity into your life. This is the duty of man. This is the whole matter. This is what it is all about. You know what's amazing? He says, "Fear God and keep his commandments." You know what that is? I mean, if you put that in a summary, I'm sort of getting the cart before the horse. We're going to talk about those two things, but if you summarize those two things and just put one phrase to it, you know what it is? It's your walk with God. Fearing God and keeping his commandments. What he's saying is walk with him. He's talking about walking with God. This is not a technical thing. You know, I think sometimes we start to feel like walking with God is a technical issue, like we're doing the things we should do and we're avoiding the things we shouldn't avoid, like some sort of a standard. If we keep the standard, then we're walking with God. No. Walking with God, it's a relationship. You know, it's like riding in a car with your wife. You should probably talk to each other. I mean, you know, if you're in the car, I told this story before, but if you're in the car for, let me say this, I took a young man on a father-son trip. He didn't have a dad, and I was that figure in his life, and it was a privilege for me to be able to take him on that father-son trip, and it was good. It was really good. It was a five-hour drive to the place where we were going, so we were in the car together for 5 hours. We didn't talk to each other for the first 2 hours. And it took me 2 hours to realize, oh, because I was just thinking and meditating on things. And he was over there just like reading a book or just whatever, I don't know. But after 2 hours, I thought, oh man, we haven't even talked to each other. And he wasn't over there thinking, oh, I wonder if Pastor's mad at me. We weren't doing that because we're guys. We don't need to talk to each other. We're together, that's enough, right? But if it was my wife, and we're on a five-hour journey, and we haven't talked to each other for 2 hours, we have some marriage problems. You know what I mean? This is not good. We need to have a conversation. And that's what God wants with us. He's with us. He says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's going to go all the way with us. So in the sense, he's in the car with us in our journey. He wants to fellowship with us. It's all about relationship. It's not about the technical. And so when he says, fear God and keep his commandments, we're talking about walking with God in a relationship. And that's the whole duty of man. Solomon is saying this is what it is all about, having a close relationship with God. And so he says there's two things. If you will keep these two things in mind, it will help you to maintain that relationship where it needs to be. Number one, he says the fear of God. He says fear God. Now, fearing God, that word fear, it means reverence, and we've heard it that way. I think sometimes we've only heard it that way, to revere, to be in awe of, and it does mean that. But you know what that word fear also means? To be afraid. It means that. Like, I think sometimes we forget that God is just, he's holy, he's full of justice, he's faithful. What does that mean? That means God will judge the wicked. It means that God will bring blessings upon the righteous. And that's a fearful thing. It ought to cause us to be fearful. In the sense that, not that we're afraid to approach God, but that we have a proper understanding of who God is. That he is a God to be feared, to be honored, to be in awe of, but to be afraid. Yeah. Let me show you. Go to Exodus 23. I read this in the scriptures 2 days ago, as a matter of fact. I'm in the book of Exodus in my studies. You keep your finger here in Ecclesiastes, okay? I just want to show you this. Exodus 23. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Exodus 23. Look at verse 27. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right. Verse 27. Here's what God said. I will send my fear before thee. Okay, good. So God's going to send his fear. What does that look like? Look what he says. And I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their back unto thee. So when God here references a fear towards him, he in the same context talks about destruction, that he's going to destroy the enemies. And I think that we should understand that there ought to be a kind of understanding in our spirit, in our soul, to know that God knows what we're doing and what we're not doing. He knows about our life, and he's faithful, meaning there will be consequences. Now, if you're lost, the consequence of your sin is death. The scripture says that. The wages of sin is death. And so that's why Jesus came. He came to die on the cross to pay for our sins, to make a way for you to be saved, so that you don't have to pay the penalty of your sins. And so the consequence of your sin, in the sense of separation from God in the lake of fire for all of eternity, if you're saved, you won't have to experience that judgment. Praise God for that. Amen. So Jesus paid your debt for you. But that doesn't mean in this life, that if you live in sin and disobedience from God, that there won't be consequences. There will be consequences. He's just and he is faithful. And he knows what we do. He knows what we don't do. He sees our spirit. He knows our thoughts. Look at verse number 14. Go back to Ecclesiastes. I'm getting this all messed up, but this is good. Look at verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment. That understanding is what brings the appropriate kind of fear. Look what it says next. And every secret thing. So God not only knows our deeds, he also knows our actions, or rather our thoughts. Our actions, but he knows our thoughts. He knows, the things that are in our heart. And so there ought to be a kind of fear there. Now, there are things that I'm afraid of. I hate spiders so bad. I mean, I hate them badly. Raise your hand if you're with me on that. Spiders. Good night. There's not enough hands. Okay. Let's do another one. You don't like spiders? Okay. Yeah, I hate spiders super bad. How about snakes? Okay. Yeah. That's the one right there, right? I hate them both. I think that I would go snakes is worse than spiders, okay? I think I'm with you on that. Because I've had both experience with both. I was crawling under a house. I was installing air conditioners, and I cut the insulation under the house. You know, it was a mobile home, and I'm going to put the lines up under the house for the air conditioner. As soon as I cut it open, and there was a real small space under this house, so I'm barely fitting under there. And I cut it open, and then I cut into a nest of spiders, and they all fell right on me. And so they're crawling around on me, and I hated that. It just was the worst, like one of the worst experiences of my whole life. Okay, you can imagine. On a second instance, I was installing an air conditioner, and there was a big ductwork under the house. Like, it was a crossover duct, so it was real big. And I had to move that thing out of the way so I could get to the other side of the house with the lines that I was running. And I moved it out of the way, and there was a giant snake curled up under it. And I was like, peace out, I'm out of there, you know. And I was not going back under that house. So the boss had to do that one. I'm like, listen, you can fire me. Like, I'm not going under there. It's like, forget it. Somebody else is doing this. And I feel a little bit embarrassed that I wimped out, you know, that much. But I mean, it was a big one. So, yeah, I don't like spiders or snakes. And I found out at the Teton Mountains, you know, on a hike, that I don't like grizzly bears either. Because there was a grizzly bear about 300 yards away with cubs. And, you know, and there's no fence. You know, and I was reading. If you go to Yellowstone or the Teton Mountains, don't read reviews about how many people get attacked by grizzly bears before you go. Just don't do it, because it kind of gets in your mind. But, you know, those are the kind of things that make me afraid. And here's what God is saying. God knows about our life. And the actions and the way we live, we ought to be mindful that God sees. And there is a judgment that we will face. And it ought to cause us to fear, you know, it ought to cause us to have fear of the consequences. And so there's a motivation there because of fear. Let me encourage you about your walk with God. If your walk with God isn't what it needs to be, your relationship isn't what it needs to be, it's because you don't fear God like you should. You think that God doesn't see. And you're wrong. He sees. If you just remember this is the whole matter. If you just remember the fear of God, then it will help you to remain motivated to walk with him. Okay, so that's one. Number two is to keep his commandments. And that one just simply means to obey him. I mean, keeping, it means to guard, it means to keep, it means to follow or follow through. So God wants us to obey his commandments. And obedience comes from faith, right? We don't obey to please God. Our obedience, we can't be good enough to please God. We please God because of Jesus. So the love that we have for him motivates the obedience that we, you know, that we give towards the Lord. But not just our love, watch, our faith that what God said is true. If God said that something would work, like you're going through a struggle, maybe financially, and God says, hey, you know how you can be blessed financially in the midst of your struggle? If you give to God first, the first fruits go to God, not the last fruits. The first check you need to write needs to go to God. I'm not the one who made that up. God said that. But if you give God the first fruits, then God says he'll open the windows of heaven and pour a blessing out to you. I'm like, well, you know, is that true? It is true. Amen. And God said it. Now, what will make you obey it is your faith, that you believe it. You love him, but you believe him. And so faith causes us to obey. And that's what this is all about. This is about our faith in God. This is about our fear of God, that God is faithful. He's faithful to judge. He's faithful to his word. He will provide. He will take care of us. He will do as he said. And we can trust him. And that will help our focus remain where it needs to be. Yeah. Peter struggled with focus. Remember when he was walking on the water and he got his eyes off of Jesus and he started to sink? That's how we are. We get that way. And we hear sermons like this and or lessons like this, and we think, man, this is just what I needed. My focus isn't right. My attention isn't right. I've not been looking to God like I should. I've not feared him. I've allowed other things to grab my attention. And I'm wondering why things are so challenging right now, and there's consequences in my life. And what needs to happen is our attention needs to be given back to God. We need to get our gaze back on him, like Peter. Look back to Jesus, you know. We need him to help us. And so we need to give our attention back to him. You know the irony of this? Is the man who said it, Solomon. And then look what he did. Why don't we take a look at it real quick? 1 Kings chapter 11. Lose your place in Ecclesiastes. We'll finish right here in 1 Kings. Chapter 11. Verse 1, 1 Kings 11. Are you there? Say amen. Oh, that wasn't very many. I'll wait just a second here. 1 Kings chapter 11. I know I said 1, but I meant chapter 11. I'm sorry. We're going to look at verse 1. Okay. 1 through 6. Follow this with me. But King Solomon loved many strange women. That's a sad commentary, isn't it? Look at verse 2. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them. This is what God said to him. Neither shall they come unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Verse 3. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. His wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, as Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after their gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after, and then he speaks of these gods. Look at verse 6. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, went not fully after the Lord, as David his father. So we have Solomon here who's teaching us that the whole matter, the duty of man, the whole matter of man is to focus on God. To gaze upon him, to give him our attention, to fear him, to obey him. And the one who teaches us does this. And so we know that this is not something that you and I somehow are going to avoid if we just do this in our own strength. No. Our gaze needs to be on him. Our focus needs to be on him. Sometimes, you know what we need? We need somebody to get, you know, like your kids. You never talk to your kids, and it's like they're looking at you, but they're looking right through you. And you're telling them, giving them instruction. I have boys, so I don't know if the girls are like this, but all my guys can be this way. And I'm giving them instruction, and I know they're not getting it. I'm like, hello, are you with me? Are we here? You know, it's like, no, we're not talking about toe. We're talking about a coat. You know, are you with us? You know, repeat back to me what I just said. I was in basketball. I'm the basketball coach for my boys. And so I was in practice the other day. We have 17 kids on the JV and varsity team, okay? And so I'm coaching these kids, and I'm giving instructions. And one of the kids is standing there, and he's, like, staring, like, over one of my shoulders. Like, just like a glaze, you know? Like, he's not with us, you know? And I can see it while I'm talking. And I looked at him and said, Landon, did you hear what I said? Oh, yeah, coach, I heard what you said. Okay, tell me what I said. He had no idea what I was saying. He couldn't say anything. He parroted a couple of the last things I said, but he didn't know what I was talking about. You know what he needed? He needed to get his gaze right. He needed to get his focus right. And that's what you and I need. You know what we need sometimes? We need somebody to put their hand on one side of us and put their hand on the other side of us and say, would you just please look at me? I need to tell you something, and it's kind of important. You know what we need God to do? We need God, and he does this. Aren't you glad? We need God to come to us, and we need him. I need somebody. Who can help me out here? Brother Cisco, why don't you stand up and come all the way over there on the other side. Sorry, I should have had you stay over there, but you're going to have to walk way over there. I need Brother Jackson. Why don't you come and you stand here, way over there, all the way to the wall. Brother Jackson, you stand here. Let's see, Brother Robert, why don't you stand here? Stand right here, like in front of that. Frank, can you stand right here? Good to see you this morning. This is how we are in life. Come here, Brother Victor. Just stand right there and look towards your son over there. You know what ends up happening in our life is God wants us to gaze towards him, the Lord, who's way over there. You know what ends up happening? Brother Frank, would you walk that way a little bit? But instead of looking at the Lord, you know what we're watching? We get distracted. And Brother Robert, he gets our attention. Brother Jackson, walk that way a little bit. And we start looking at that. And you know who our eyes get distracted away from? And you know what we need? We need somebody to go, you know what? Brother Victor, you need to get your, don't look over there, no, don't look over there, you need to look right there towards the Lord. Robert, move out of the way, you're right in the way, there we go, there he is, you see him? That's who you need to look towards. That's where our focus needs to be. Okay, you can be seated. We're almost done, Miss Hope. You're good. This is the best part of this lesson. You know what we need this morning? We need God to help us to watch. This is it. This is the title. Gaze upon the Lord. Amen. You know why we struggle so much? Because you're looking at this and you're looking at that and you're looking at that. You got your eyes off of God. Amen. You need to get your gaze back on him. And watch. I'm right at done. Listen. All of the peripherals, God sorts it out when your eyes are on him. He says, this is the whole duty of man. Fear me, keep my commandments, focus on me, God says. Everything else works out if you'll just do that. Father, this morning we need you. We pray for your help. Thank you for your guidance. We love you. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.